Testing.
Okay, Parshas Korach is, I would say, one of the most disturbing parshas in the Torah, and by far, as well, I would say, unfortunately, the most practical in learning how to deal with a phenomena that, unfortunately, is very, very prevalent. Let's get this clear. The Mishnah says in Ovis, Perek Hei, Mishnah Yedzayin, Kol machlekus shu l'shem shemayim seifa l'hiskayim. Any machlekus that is a shem shemayim, seifa l'hiskayim means there will be a future te'eles from it. There will be something that will practically be gained by that being so. U'she'en l'shem shemayim, any machlekus that is not based on real l'shem shemayim, ein lo seifa l'hiskayim, nothing good will come from it. Says the Mishnah, Ezu hu machlekus shu l'shem shemayim, which machlekus is shem shemayim? Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, zu machlekus hil v'shamayim. That's machlekes Hillel and Shammai. It doesn't say Beis or Beis Shammai. It says Hillel and Shammai. U'she'en l'shem Shammaim zu machlekes Korach v'chol Adosi. That's machlekes Korach v'chol Adosi. In other words, the example, the perfect example of a machlekes Shlel l'shem Shammaim is machlekes of Korach against Moshe Rabbeinu in this week's parasha. You know, we're very, very used to in the yeshiva, in the yeshiva world, being involved in machlekes. Yeah, our whole day is based around machlekes. There's machlekes Shammai and Hillel. There's machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. There's machlekes Ketzos and Nesivos. There's machlekes Rambam and Ravid. It's machlekes, and the machlekes that Baruch Hashem we surrounded with on a regular basis, many, many times a day, is machlekes Hashem Shammai. Unfortunately, though, a machlekes she'en l'shem Shammaim can take place in yeshiva as well. That has happened. But one is surrounded by machlekes Shlel l'shem Shammaim, and one has to have the tools, one has to know how to be able to deal with them when one is challenged by them. Now, I'm talking about, but first of all, on the religious side of it, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the Gemara says in Daf Kuf Yudah Medalef, Kol ha-machzik v'machlekes, anyone who holds on to machlekes, a person who strengthens machlekes, oyve b'leisase, he's oyve alav. He should not be like Korach. Okay, we learn this in Asmachta, but whatever it is, is a vadai, a lav, and a Torah, is vadai something that is osa. It's not moina min in a mitzvah, but it's something that's seriously wrong. But I'm not even talking about right now the spiritual side of it. Let's leave that as a side. A vadai, machlek is a terrible avera, and of course, to be machzik sholem, to redivach sholem is a fantastic midah. But let's talk about poshut, what you'd say in Yiddish, menschlich geret. Speaking practically amongst people, machlekes is something that is so dangerous, it is so lethal, it is so problematic that it causes the worst, terrible, most beautiful things to completely erode. How many good marriages have broken apart? How many real nasty divorces have happened because of a misunderstanding of how to deal with machlekes? You know, on the chasna day, they look very happy. Chosn and Kala look mamish as if in the seventh heaven, and then somewhere down the line, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 6 months, whatever it is, there's a bitter argument there. And then not only that, they've not only ripped themselves apart, they ripped the children apart as well. What happened? What sparked it all off? Could that have been prevented? Sibling rivalry. Brothers not speaking to each other. Why? Because years ago he did something to me. Is there nothing that could be done? And what happened then? Could not have been prevented. Business partnerships. People go into a partnership together and they're two people who are compatible to build up financially a stable empire. And machlekes sets in and it falls apart and they destroy each other and their business and their future. Why? Because of machlekes. Friendships. Good friendships. Non-speaking terms. For years. How does this happen? So how do we learn how to deal with this? How do we relate to a situation where we're approached by somebody who ultimately has come out of nowhere and is out there to get at us? How are we supposed to deal with this? So the parasha over here shows us how the Onav of Mikol Adam, Moshe Rabbeinu, attempted to defuse the situation with Korach. He couldn't in the end, because this was machlekes that was negeah to Das Torah. It was a machlekes, it was an argument that ultimately was trying to undermine Moshe Rabbeinu's authority as a Novi, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu had to go all the way till the end, unfortunately, and bring it to such that they all died in a Misa Mashuna, a very difficult Misa. But in a situation where it's possible to defuse, Moshe Rabbeinu would have been too happy to defuse this. How does Moshe Rabbeinu deal with this? So let's go through the parasha carefully. The Pasuk says in Perek Tazayin Pasuk Gimel, Vayikohalu al Moshe val Aaron, and they came as a kahal, they congregated against Moshe and Aaron. Vayoyim Ralein, they said to them, Rav Lechem, Kichol Eilu Kulim Kedoshim Asoichem Hashem. Yeah, in other words, you're taking too much honor, you're taking too much credit for yourself, you're taking too much position of authority. Everyone should be equal. Says the next pasuk, Vayishma Moshe Vayipol Al Ponov. Moshe heard and he fell on his face. So, without learning Rashi, what would one say? He fell in the face because he was terribly upset. People are coming from nowhere. Not just people. You're dealing with Korach, who's a godl ador. He was a pikeach, Rashi says. He was a wise man. He was a wealthy individual, extremely powerful person. And he comes along and completely, out of the blue, he starts with Moshe Rabbeinu, and he brings together a whole revolution against him. Moshe Rabbeinu falls on his face. So what would one say? Fell on his face, terribly upset. Here I am, trying to do my job. I didn't want to be in this position at first, and of course, Baruch Hu put me in this position. And what have I done to provoke this? Says Rashi. Vayipol ha'polam mipnei ha'machleikus. He fell on his face because of machleikus. Okay, fine, no chiddush yet. Says Rashi, no. Shekvar ze beyodom silchon revi. This is the fourth time Klal Yisrael had sinned. Chotu be'egel. They'd sinned by the egel. Moshe davened. Be'misoinin. In the complainers, Moshe davened. In the meraglim, Moshe davened. Machleikus shel koyach nisra shel yodov. And when it comes to machleikus koyach, who knows if I can possibly get through this again? If I can push through, that Klal Yisrael should not suffer from this again. And Rashi brings a moshel. Rabbi Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu is being personally attacked. And what does he think about? He thinks about himself. He thinks about his own kavod. He thinks about what is going to be the outcome to this. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be devastating. Machlekes is going to rip apart Klal Yisrael, and I can't do anything about this. I am going to ultimately see Klal Yisrael suffer. Moshe Rabbeinu did not see a man attacking him. He saw the situation that was till the end. If a person realizes that when he's approached by machlekes, what can ultimately happen if he reacts, the other person react to his reaction, he'll react to that person's reaction, and what happens from there? If a person saw the end, if a person had the pikkus, person had their insight, just to see how this can develop, and what will happen was one stage after the other, the whole machlekes will at that stage stop. There's a phrase in the Gemara Nida. Tuvei d'shama v'odish cholfuhu b'shtimeo. Tuvei d'shama v'odish. Good is a person, Rav Avigdor Melo always used to say it over, and it rings in my ears. Tuvei d'shama v'odish cholfuhu b'shtimeo. Yeah, good is a person who's shama v'odish, who hears and is adish. What is adish? Adish means he's odish. He doesn't react, right? Cholfuhu bishtimei, 100 illnesses will pass him by. And he brought an example. He said there's once a madrich. There's a group leader, a camp leader, who's taking a bunch of boys out on a trip in New York. And a Puerto Rican or whatever shouted a nasty anti-Semitic comment at one of the boys' couples. Started making fun. So this madrich felt that he couldn't let this go. And he said, what did you say? He said, I made fun of his beanie. Make fun of his keeper. He said, don't make fun of this guy, kid's beanie. You want to make fun of his beanie, make fun of me. But don't make fun of this kid's beanie. Come on, man, I'm only pulling your leg. No, don't pull your leg. Anyway, he got backwards and forwards, got heated. The guy started pushing him. This boy goes to the car, and he takes out a baseball bat to protect himself, because he saw things getting out of control. The guys in the other car took out an axe, and they killed this boy. And he went through the court, and the court said that this was an act of self-defense, and these people who attacked him, they were attacked first, and therefore all these boys go is on a probation. Probation means you go once a month. Hi Bob, how are you doing? Yeah, great, off you go. Tuvei d'shama v'odish. If he didn't react and react, this boy would probably be a father today with many, many children. Chaval, chaval. See a situation at the beginning. See how far this goes. A divorce did not happen from people keeping their mouths shut, usually. It happens from an action and a reaction and a reaction and a reaction. See how bad things are at the beginning, and then it can be stopped. Moshe Ben did not see a personal attack. He saw Klal Yisrael are in danger here. That is the first message of Machlekes. When Machlekes comes your way, don't just see, I'll just say this little thing, he say this little thing. This is something massive. You never know where this is going to end. Stop right now. Immediately. Understand what's going on and stop. Rav Noach said, if you understand that, Rav Noach used to give a famous moshul. He said, imagine you're sitting by the lights. And you're dreaming. All of a sudden, the guy behind you knocks you. What's it called in America? He bumps
rear end.
In the rear end, he gives you a bump on the rear end, right? And the whole car shakes, right? So you're a calm guy, you relax. Okay. As you look in the mirror, you see the guy reversing and doing it again. Right? Now you're getting annoyed. Third time. Fourth time. That's it. Finished. This guy is crazy. You go out of your car, and you walk up to the guy, and you open the door, and you see in the car are six skinheads with chains and knuckle dusters and knives. Right? Sorry, sir. Excuse me, sir. I apologize. I'll move right out the way. What happened? Where's your anger? Where's your anger? What happened in the machlokes? Why didn't you tell the guy where he comes from? Give him the full rundown. Teretz is because he saw the end of what could happen. If a person saw machlokes at the beginning of what can happen at the end, he'll stop right there. And the fact is, it's not often an imagination. It can actually happen to that extent. A machlokes can cause actions and reactions that person goes way out of control. Number one. Number two, Moshe Rabbeinu says to them. So Moshe heard, and he said to me, "Dabe al Korach v'chaladosu leimoy." Moshe Rabbeinu's first reaction was, "Boike v'yoda Hashem." Boike, tomorrow v'yoda Hashem. Hashem will let us know. Eis asheloi. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, why is Moshe Rabbeinu stalling? Why don't you crush the revolution immediately? Take it, they're causing problems. Today, let's sort it out right now. Okay, take your jacket off, let's sort you out right now. What's Boike? Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh Loshen like this. Oid Nochem Bezeh. It's also correct to say, Ishlo Elekim, Moshe Rabbeinu, the man of God, Lo Seis Lohem Zman HaLailo, to give them time in the evening, at night, to investigate their actions, ulai yakiru, or perhaps they will recognize, or understand, ki loy toiv oisim, they're not doing the correct thing, v'yachzuru b'tshuva nadu tshuva. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh is giving us the yisoid. The yisoid is, when a machlokes is thrown to you, of course, see the results. But the first tactic is delay. Delay. A guy left you a nasty phone call. He left you a message on the phone that makes your blood boil. Don't pick up the phone and answer him back straight away. You know what? Sleep on it. Wait. Sleep on it. By the next morning, you'll be more relaxed. It's gone through your head. It's gone through your kishkas. It's okay. No, no, you know. Maybe the other person, by that time, is going to regret what he did. He'll give you a ring and he'll apologize. This is Boike. Boike means don't react immediately. Somebody's really nasty to you. A neighbor did something terrible. Sleep on it. The problems with text messaging and emails is the fact that once you press the send button, the guy's got it. That's it. The old good old days with snail mail is they wrote a letter, a really nasty letter, and you have to wait till the next morning to mail it. But the next morning you can rip it up and put it in the bin. But today it's instantaneous, backwards, forwards, backwards, forwards, backwards, forwards. You know, you don't have to wait for the mailman. You can have it in the middle of the night. You can have a full-fledged argument with the emails. Whoa! Yeah? Boike! Don't react. You know what? You may not sleep that well. Fine. La la la. Sake of Shalom. Don't react. Wait till the next day. Sleep on it. Somebody says something to you. A wife says something to you. Really upsetting. She's tired. You're tired. It's now the time to react. It's now the time to go to war. You know, when you need a good war, you need to be fresh, right? Let's deal next day. Next day, you can deal with it. But don't react at night. Sleep on it. It's such an important insight. It's such an important insight because the next day, things are different. Things feel different. You just see things in a different light. The next day, you have to deal with it. How do you deal with it? Okay? If the person hasn't apologized. Okay? How to deal with it? And it's obviously it's an ongoing simmering machlekes. The Ksav Sofer asks, why does the Mishnah say, Ezo hi machlekes shi l'shem shemayim, hilo v'shamay? Machlekes hilo and shamay. What's machlekes in l'shem shemayim? Koirach v'adosui. It's koirach and adosui. No, no, no. Those aren't the two sides. Hillel is against Shammai. There's Koirach against Moshe. What's Machlech Shem Shemaim is Hillel against Shammai. What's Machlech Shem Shemaim? Koirach Vadosli. Against? Yeah, what's the other side? Where's Moshe? It should be Koirach and Moshe. So Ksav Sofer has a few different turutim, Ayin Shom. But the Bala Musa say something incredible. A Machlechus that's a Shem Shemaim is a Machlechus where there are two sides. I have my opinion, you have your opinion, and I happen to disagree with your conclusion. And you disagree with my conclusion. But there are two sides to it. Each side recognizes and respects the other side. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel had hundreds of machlekes, but they respected each other to an extent that if you held something was osa, I respect it. I hold it's mutter, fine, I will tell you when the time comes that I can't marry this particular person in the family because to you it's osa. And that's why Beis Shammai can marry into Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel into Beis Shammai. Because I see where you're coming from, I don't agree with you, but you're entitled to have your opinion and I respect you for it. And that's Machlekes Shem Shemayim. That's Shammai and Hillel. And Machlekes Ein Shem Shemayim is a Machlekes where you poshut don't see there's another side. You posh it, there is no other side. I have my opinion and the person is not entitled to their opinion. In fact, the other person has no opinion. There is no other side. I am right. It is so clear. The day is so clear that the other person is a million miles away to having any form of logical argument and there's nothing to talk about. There isn't another side. You know, sometimes you hear two parties coming to you or fighting and you hear the story from one person. And then you hear a story from the other person, and you can't believe it's really the same two people arguing about the same fight. The story that happened is completely like A, and the other one's completely Z. Yeah, and it's A, B, C in the middle. It's not Z to A. Yeah, it's completely two different worlds, and you can't believe it's they're talking about the same thing. And if you try and break it down a little bit, you understand where the misunderstanding started from or what happened there. You understand what's going from. Koirach v'adosai did not see there was a Moshe Rabbeinu. There was nobody, he had no sayness whatsoever, there is no opinion. When a person is involved in a machlekes, then listen to the other side. Maybe he does have a point. Don't react straight away. Next morning, listen. 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 Maybe he does have an opinion. This is crazy. No. It may sound crazy, but listen carefully. Maybe the other person deserves to be upset. Maybe he has a feeling, maybe he did do something wrong. Listen carefully. Take yourself out of this. Let the person have an opinion. Let there be another side. A proper, legitimate, strong other side. And he can always reconsider later. But right now, give him the doc. Let him say over what he has to say. Listen to him carefully. And once you've listened to him, the next stage is to seriously consider what he said. If you look in the parasha later, Moshe Rabbeinu says, he calls Dosan Aviram, and Dosan Aviram say to him, Hama'at, and Posit Yud Gimel, Hama'at, is it not enough? They took us out of Erez Arvas Cholav Advosh, this beautiful land of milk and honey called Mitzrayim. Let's die in the midbar. Now you become the Kisistarelin, come Historer, and now you've come to rule over us. And the Posit carries on terrible things. Vayichal Moshe Moed. Says Rashi. What's Vayichal Moshe Moed mean? Posit Tesvob. Vayichal Moshe, what does it mean? Very angry, right? Says Rashi. Chas v'sholom. Vayichal Moshe Moed. Says Rashi in Posit Tesvob. Nitztae ad mo'od. He was very upset, not very angry. Moshe does not get very angry. Yeah? I never took a donkey from them. Says Rashi, I didn't take a donkey. In other words, I was quite entitled to get my travel expenses covered by the community. I didn't. I paid for my own car hire. I took my own donkey. I feel like shalachti me midyan leMitzrayim for kafti es ishti ves bonei lachamoyu. When I took my wife and children from Midian to Mitzrayim, and I was quite entitled to put it on the business account, I didn't. I took it for myself. I took it for myself. Moshe, I know what you're doing. You're answering to them. What? You start talking about chamoyer and this. Why going to Protim? Don't say you're doing, guys. You're crazy. I know what you're talking about. The teretz is Moshe Rabbeinu made a chesh benefesh. Moshe Rabbeinu says maybe they're right. Maybe they do have a point. Maybe I am being hysterical. Maybe I am using my power, my strength, to overpower people. And I am taking advantage of people. Moshe Rabbeinu made a cheshbon nefesh. And he worked through, stage by stage, stage by stage. Ah, you know what? I'll even prove to you how clean I am. When it came to Chamoyer, I did not take from you. Moshe Rabbeinu went through everything from beginning to end. It's a full business account. His full expense account. And he's able to come through completely clean. And then Moshe Rabbeinu can say, it's not true what you're saying. I'm not trying to take advantage. I'm not trying to take a level of power to overpower you to become an unrightful ruler over you. I'm not trying to be a dictator. I've honestly and thoroughly been through my affairs and I've come out clean. When a person attacks you, listen to them. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore it in a way that you say, this guy's Meshuggah. Hey, what's he want from us? No, maybe he's saying something. Maybe you have done something wrong. Make cheshbon nefesh. Look into yourself. Rabbi Yeruchim says, the boss says in Tehillim, Bekomim alay mereim tashmana oznoi. When my enemies rise up against me, tashmana oznoi, I listen. I hear them. Maybe they're saying something right. I'm willing to take musaf on them too.
So what's in there?
Sorry?
So what's Nitztae? I'm sorry,
what? He's very upset that they accused him of something. It started, by the way, was they're upset that they made a whole libel case against Moshe Rabbeinu. Obviously, he got upset. Right? But to get angry, chas v'sholem. With Rishoyim, it's a contrary. With Rishoyim, the Pasuk says, V'hoya b'shom es divrei ha'ola hazois. When you hear a rebuke from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, from a Kodesh Baruch Hu himself, it's not talking about me, talking to somebody else. The Gedolim, the Balei Musa, when they heard Musa, they didn't say, oh, Rabbi, you told them. They took it, they internalized it. There's a story of Rabbi Arya Levine, used to give a shmuz on Shalom Bayis in a Shkunat Knesset. In Rechavia there, he's given in a Shkunat Knesset. Rabbi Issa Zalman happened to be there. Issa Zalman also happened to be there. And he's learning at the back. After the Shia, he went to Rabbi Arya and said, Rabbi Arya, I'm very upset with you. He says, what are you talking about? He said, in front of everyone, you embarrass me. He says, what do you mean? He says, you knew I was in the shul, and you start giving the shmuz about Shalom Bayis. Everyone knows that if you're talking to me, I should be better than Shalom Bayis. In front of everybody, you can't come to and say to me, this is Almana, you know, I think you should do something about your Shalom Bayis. This is Almana was the dogma of Shalom Bayis. There's so many stories of how unbelievably respected his wife. But maybe not. Maybe Tishmana Oznai. Maybe I have to hear. Maybe I should be hearing this. Aris Chas V'Shalom. The last person I meant was you. No, you meant me. Yeah? We go and hear a whole shmooze, and it's meant for us, and we say, oh, you told him, Rabbi. Well done. You know, I hope he got the message. Do you know, his wife wrote all the Chedushim of Eben HaOzel. Rabbi Issa Zalman's wife wrote down all the Chedushim. You can't imagine a Shalom Bayis there. That is a person who is really strong enough, is man enough to take criticism. If it's correct, I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to listen to your side. If it's wrong, that's the next stage of what we're going to be talking about now. Right? But first of all, the person has another side. Let's hear what he has to say. Let's not ignore it. Maybe there is something I should be working on. Now, Dosan and Aviram. You've heard of them? Yeah, Dosan and Aviram. Lovely, lovely people. Okay, beautiful. V'yikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kohos ben Levi v'Dosan v'Aviram. Ah, those two, Dosan and Aviram. Right? Now, so Moshe Rabbeinu, besides Korach, who was normal till then, has got these rabble rousers, yeah, these troublemakers, pains in the neck, called Dosan and Aviram, who have only one credit to the name, that they absolutely keep going. Yeah, these people are they don't deviate. They are from beginning to end Bali Machlekes, right? They're approached by Moshe Rabbeinu. They're consistent all the way. They have one midah. They're consistent. They go to Moshe Rabbeinu and they stand in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, "Goes vayomer Moshe al Korach v'yitzar Korach." And then in Pasuk Yud-Beis, "Vayishlach Moshe likra Dosan Aviram b'nei Eliyav." They went to call them. "Vayomer loynale, we're not coming up." What do you expect from these people? Hello, Dosan Aviram. You expect to get respect from them? Says Rashi. "Vayishlach Moshe mikan." She'ein machzikim b'machlekes. Ein machzikim b'machlekes. Don't hold on to machlekes. Shohaya Moshe machzeh reya. Moshe Rabbeinu was running after them. La'hashlima medivrei shalom. To make up them with words of peace. To make peace with them. Arich sam sofer. This isn't quite the case. What Moshe Rabbeinu was doing that to them was not just only not being machzik ma'machlekes, strengthening machlekes. Moshe Rabbeinu was doing something, a positive act of destroying the machlekes, to trying to make peace. He was proactive in breaking the machlekes, not active in keeping the machlekes. In other words, from here we learn from this pasuk, a machzik ma'machlekes teaches us, don't actively hold on to machlekes. But it's not true. Learn from this pasuk more than that. They got to be proactive in destroying machlekes, running after shalom. Says Chassam Sefer, listen to this, Rabbi Yisai, one of the most beautiful vots I've heard. Unbelievable. He said, in the whole life of everything we do in the Torah is based on chazaka. Whether it's issa v'heta, whether it's kosher or treif, whether it's tomei or tohir, whether it's gezela, whether it's dinim mamonos, whether it's dinim nefoshos, where they come to killing people, we work according to chazaka. There's all a bunch of chazakas. Chazaka in mikoro, chazaka in mahashta, all different chazakas. He said in a chazaka, one can go through life and actually completely follow through every directive of life based on chazakas. And that's what we do. That's chazakas. Says the Chassam Sofer, there's one place that we don't go after chazaka. Dosan and Aviram. Every time Moshe Rabbeinu had trouble, it's on Dosan and Aviram. The first time, do you remember the first time? Who's Dosan and Aviram? The first time Moshe encountered Dosan and Aviram? Yeah, he said, Loma Sakari Echo. Loma Sakari Echo. They're hitting each other. Loma Sakari Echo. So, they're hitting each other, having a fight. Moshe Rabbeinu tried to break up the fight. Ah, you're going to kill us like you killed the Mitzri. And they ran to tell Paroi about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had to go into Golus. That's the first time he came to contact with Dosan Aviram. Fantastic. Second time, Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, trying to negotiate with Paroi. What happens? The pasuk says, "Vayifka es Moshe ves Aaron, mitzovin akrosom mitzaysa meis Paroi." Yeah, they're leaving Paroi. "Vayoyma aleihem, yi Hashem aleichem." Vayishpoit asher havashtem, in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be the shofet, how much he made worse for Klal Yisrael. So they're standing outside the palace to annoy Moshe Rabbeinu. Dosan and Aviram there again. B'chvoidom uvatzmon. Okay, the third time. What's the third time?
They're the ones who said at the Yam that we should have died in the Zion.
The left of man.
Clearly, that's not. I don't say clearly that in Rashi. By the mon, by the mon. V'lo yishomel Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu says on Shabbos, don't collect anything. V'lo yishomel Moshe. V'yisira noshman abayke. They left over till the next day. V'yiram tloim, and they became wormy. Says Rashi, who are they? Dosan and Aviram. So these people are troublemakers. Okay, card carrying nudniks. Right. So what do you want from them? These people, every turn Moshe Rabbeinu tried to do, they're causing him trouble. So now they're starting off with Korach three times already. Zok or big nunniks. Yeah, I should start now looking along to make shalom with them. The teretz is mikan she'ei machzikim machlekus. When it comes to machlekus, there's no chazokus. A person can't say, this person, he's just trying to get to me, leave it, forget it, I'm ignoring him, I'm not listening to what he's going to say. No! There's no chazaka. When it comes to a person upsetting you, and this person upset you a few times, maybe this time, try and cause the machlekus to disappear. Don't say, me? I should do it? This guy's a meshugana. This guy's a draycot. This guy's a nudnik. I should do anything about it. The teretz is, ein machzikim machlekus. Just because he has been machzik machlekus till now, forget about the chazaka. This time, try and make peace. This time, attempt to calm down the situation. Very, very powerful word. Ein machzikim machlekus means there's no chazaka when it comes to machlekus. There's a nasty neighbor. He says something to you. Right? So you can just roll your eyes and ignore him. No. Try and calm him down. Ein machzikim machlekus. I've done it to you a few weeks before and a few weeks before that. Fine. But each time, try and calm things down. That is ein machzikim machlekus. There's once a nasifa, there's once a group of people, a certain Rav, a certain community leader was causing the Chofetz Chaim a lot of tzoros. And the Asconim, the people involved in the community, called the Chofetz Chaim in and to put a meeting together how should we deal with this problem. And they decided, you know, I think we should make a kol kira, we should make it very clear that this person has no right to have any more to see board of any of the committees. This person has no right to have any covered. This person has no right to get the chosher valias. This person is somebody who causes trouble. That's it. Chofetz Chaim said, excuse me, I'm the oldest here, I'd like to talk. Fine, what do you want to say? He said, look in the beginning of the parasha. The parasha says, V'ikach korach ben yitzhak ben kohos ben levi ben dothan aviram ben eliyav oim ben peles ben reuven v'yakumu lifnei moshe anoshim ben yisrael nesiyeh edo kriyei moyed anshei shem. All these people who stood up to Moshe Rabbeinu were kriyei moyed anshei shem. What does that mean, anshei shem? Means they were public figures. They were people who got mizrach at every function. Why? Dothan aviram. Dothan aviram, these old troublemakers. Push them at the back of the shul, finish. Don't give them the cupboard. No, Moshe Rabbeinu allow them to have the cupboard. You know why? Because if it's going to stop machlekes coming on later, give somebody cupboard it doesn't deserve. Lo nora, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Dorsen aviram! Yes, even Dorsen aviram, give them the cupboard. Who knows? That's what they may be lacking. Maybe they'll calm down. Maybe they won't get any worse. Give somebody cupboard even if it doesn't deserve it, for the sake of machlekes. I want to finish off with one more thought and show you one unbelievable story that I saw, I think, which sort of puts together all the different factors of the shir. Moshe Rabbeinu says to them in Perek Tes Zayin, Pasuk Ches, Vayoyime Moshe Okirach. Shimu no b'nei Levi. Please listen to me, b'nei Levi. Hama'at mikem. Hama'at mikem. Translate, please. Hama'at mikem.
Minimal of you.
Hama'at, is it minimal from you? Ki hivdil elekei Yisrael eschem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen you, ma'adas Yisrael lahakriv eschem ilov lavadus v'yos mishkan Hashem. Now there was Levi'im. You want kahuna. Is it minimal to you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose you to be Levi'im? What's he saying? And what's Bishat Hama'at Mikem? We should say Hama'at Lechem. Lochem, to you. Is it too little for you? What's a Hama'at Mikem? Hama'at, from you.
Korach was a
Levi. So I'm saying, you Levim, you bunch of Levim. Hama'at Lechem, Hama'at Lechem. Is it too little for you? What's Hama'at Mikem? Rabbi Say, there's a principle in the Mishnayos of Binyan Ne'orim Stira. Binyan Ne'orim Stira. A nar builds himself up by bashing somebody else. You know, there's two ways. You can see it sometimes in children. There's two ways that children can be taller than their friends. Either a friend could be standing on the ground and another child will stand on a chair to be taller than him. Or the child is standing on the ground and he'll push his friend down and he's taller than him that way. Binyan Ne'orim Stira. Binyan Ne'orim Stira means that small people who are unhappy with their life, They don't feel fulfilled. They don't feel they're fulfilling their potential. They don't think they're doing the right thing, ultimately lash out at people indiscriminately and are nasty to people. If you're in shul, minding your own business, and somebody comes along and moves your tefillin, you know, with a full mitzvah rage. Ah, shem shemayim, yeah? What have you done to him? Chances is absolutely nothing. Right? But, who knows, he may have left the house and his wife said, you're good for nothing. You know what, stay in shul, don't come back. Who knows? Who knows? You know, sometimes you get the king of the parking lot trying to park somewhere, and you can see the back of the parking lot, there are three empty places. So you try and get in to this parking area, you know, this parking lot, and you say to, I don't know, to the parking guy there, wherever his name is, Ivan, yeah, do me a favor, I want to get into this parking lot. In Makom. No, excuse me, I can see this place over here, I'd like to get in here. In Makom. What do you mean, in Makom? You an idiot? This place over there, let me in! In Makom. Atalom evin ivrit in Makom. In Makom. Atay in Makom basechel. Ma in Makom. Backwards, forward, right? Why? Because this guy, Nebuch, he feels that he has come from a country, he is probably a doctor or an accountant or a lawyer, and he's come to the country, he's looking after a parking lot. Nebuch. So he wants to be the king over what he can control. So he's a king over the parking lot. So he's going to tell you, you can't park there. I, physically you can, yes, but I said you can't. Yeah? Nebuch. That's what you're in charge of. You know, you get the person, the taxi driver. Yeah, as he come inside, the taxi driver, you know, close the door quietly. Right? I didn't slam it shut. No. Close the window. You know, yelling. Why? Because he's in charge. He's a king over his cab. Nebuch. Big people who are satisfied, who feel they're fulfilling their potential, who are happy with what they're doing because they feel they're making a difference, don't lash out at people indiscriminately. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, Hama'at, if you think it's too little and you're getting at me, it's mikem, it's your problem. Do you know that? You've got the problem, I don't have the problem. If somebody comes and lashes out at you, don't take it personally. This person had a rough night. This person doesn't feel happy with life. He feels that life has cheated him and he's letting it out on you. You take it personally. You've missed a point. Hama'at is mikem. Nebuch, I feel sorry for you. You're not happy with life. So let me help you. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, do you know who you are? Ki hivdil elekei Yisrael eschem ades Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made you great. Don't feel so small. You're a big person. Don't lash out. You've got a good life. When a person is nasty to you, don't take it personally if it isn't personal. Make cheshbon nefesh. Look into yourself. Maybe he does have a point. If it's not a point, you don't know this person from Adams, and he's nasty to you. Picks up the phone and starts screaming at you. You phone up chevrat chashmal, yeah, and the person yells at you. What, is it something against you? Maybe they've got an ingrown toenail that just stabbed it on the chair. Right? Ouch! I'm going to let it out. They've got a raging toothache. Right? Fine. So, find this person got a raging toothache in his head too. So, Hama'at Mikem is your problem. Don't take it personally. This is this parasha. The parasha is number one. Know what Machlekus is. Understand the effects of how far it can go. Number two is delay. Boike. Tomorrow. Don't deal with it straight away. Try and delay it. Try and hold things back a little bit. Number three is stand back. Try and see the other person's perspective. Maybe the other person does have an opinion. Maybe the other person is right. Maybe he's right. Maybe I have to change. And if I have to change, I have to apologize and make a difference. Make every attempt to calm things down, even if it's not the first time. Ein machzikim machlekus. This person is getting at you again and again and again. Correct. But let's each time try and calm things down. Don't say there's a chazaka, I'm going to ignore him. No, ein machzikim machlekus. Try and see things beneath the tainas. Don't think, take things personally. Hama'at is mikem. It's usually an unhappy person who is trying to get to you. If machlekas is so devastating, if machlekas has such power, let's see a fantastic story over here, what machlekas can do if it's treated the correct way. This story, by the way, is a story that shows how machlekas can develop. Yeah, how you have to think beforehand. Before you start anything, it shows you how you got to stand back and take perspective. It shows you as well, Ein Machzikim HaMachlekes, and it shows Hama'at Mikem, There's a lot of very, very important messages over here. This is a story brought down by Rabbi Chil Spiro in Touched by a Story. In Touched by a Story, probably number one, okay, in page 246. Mendel was a strong-minded individual. He had his particular preferences and wasn't shy about making them known. As a strong activist, he had significant influence in his community and expressed his opinions without concern for the consequences. For example, he wanted the Chazon to daven in a certain manner, using a specific tunes and specific pronunciations of the words. He pressured the Rav to speak about the subject matter that he suggested. Veering away from Mendel's agenda was sure to invite his wrath, and Mendel would not be bashful about his disappointment. If you were lucky, he'd approach you and chide you regarding your performance. Otherwise, you'd be subject to a cold shoulder until he decided to forgive you. No, Mendel was definitely not a relaxed individual. He was demanding in every sense of the word. We all know these people, right? We all know there's one guy in shul who is this Mendel. Yeah? Fine. In his shul, each Simchas Torah had become the custom in recent years for Mendel to purchase the honor of receiving the aliyah of Kol Na'orim for his son. Mendel had heard years ago about the skula that the honor carried with it that the person who was honored with a portion of the Torah reading on Simchas Torah would be blessed with many children. Mendel's son Chaim had been married for 6 years now and was still childless. And Mendel had watched as his son and daughter-in-law had suffered through the doctor's visits and treatments that were difficult, both emotionally and physically. On Simchas Torah's sender, the Gabbai decided that he would make some extra money for the shul. And as the bidding wars began, the various kibbudim, he bid on each one, attempting to up the ante. One by one, the prices escalated. The sender offered proposals and counter-proposals on the items up for bidding. The lower priced items had been sold at a race of assault for $250, and now it was time for the serious bidding to begin. Generally, Kol Na'orim, Chosam Torah, and Chosam Bereishis went for a few hundred dollars apiece. On a good year, even up to $400 to $500. However, this year was to be different. I bid $300 for Kol Na'orim, Mendel blared out. Assuming that he would be purchased, it would be easily with very few counter offers. $350, Sender shouted to Mendel's surprise. Sender was normally not a player in the purchasing of kibbudim, and Mendel wondered why he was beginning now. 400! 5! And so the bidding war began. The smirk on Sender's face indicated that he was not as serious as some might have believed him to be about the purchase of the kibbutz. The numbers escalated, and so did Mendel's blood pressure. The nerve of this impudent fool, Mendel thought to himself. He knows that I'm trying to buy it for my son, and I'm willing to spend more than anyone. Why did he not need to be a genius to figure that out? The tension spread in the room as the numbers hit an all-time high. $1,000, Mendel announced emphatically, the irritation clearly noticeable in his voice. 1,100, Sender coolly responded, pretending to be oblivious to Mendel's anger. By now, the shul had become silent, except for the bidding war between Mendel and Sender, and the mediation of the one who had been announcing the soaring prices. 1,200, Mendel pronounced. Beards of sweat developed on Mendel's forehead as he huffed and puffed in seething rage. And without a missing a beat, Sender declared, $1,300. Take it! Keep it! Mendel yelled. Simchas Torah's joy had been replaced with a palpable feeling of hatred that filled the entire base of Medrash. Sender immediately realized that what he had intended as an innocent, well-meaning fundraising ploy for the shul had not been perceived as such by Mendel. And he now was a proud winner of an honour he did not want and could not afford. The onlookers of the shul, usually irritated with Mendel's behaviour, now sympathised with him. They knew why he wanted the aliyah and felt sorry for him that he did not win the bidding. The celebrations of the Hakofas proved quieter than usual and uneventful. Many of the members of the community had been taken aback by the bidding fiasco that had been taking place earlier. The excitement and joy of Simchas Torah festivities had petered out as Mendel and Sender had avoided each other since Mendel's outburst. Finally, Shmuel, the peacemaker of the shul, looked up from the safety he had been immersed in. Shmuel was not much of a dancer and usually stayed in the outside of the circles or sat in a chair and shared some Torah thoughts with a sprinkling of jokes of those who would listen. But now an idea had popped into his head. He walked over to Sender and sat down next to him in an inconspicuous manner. "You know, Sender, I have an idea." Shmuel opened the conversation. He knew he was treading on thin ice and proceeded with caution. "I know that you spent an enormous amount of money on Kol Na'orim." "What are you driving at?" Sender interjected. He felt awful about the events that had transpired earlier and wasn't in the mood for Shmuel's jokes. "I'm not joking with you," Shmuel's serious tone was somewhat unusual, and grabbed Sender's attention. "Just imagine what if you gave the honor of Kol Na'orim to Mendel's son. Imagine what type of shalom you'd bring about. I bet that would cause a commotion in Shemayim. The more Shmuel thought about it, the more he enjoyed the idea. And so, as the congregation prepared for the Aliyah of Kol Na'orim, Semler whispered something into the Gabbai's ear. To the amazement of everyone, the Gabbai called upon Mendel's son for the Aliyah. Shocked, Mendel looked at Semler with tears in his eyes and nodded as if to say thank you. Mendel's son made the brachas together with all the children as he, his father, and now Semler silently prayed for Hashem to grant this young couple the child they so desperately wanted. 1 year later, Mendel bid once again on Kol Na'orim, but this time with his brand new little granddaughter in his hands. He purchased a kibbud for Semler in appreciation for all he had done, and Shmuel could not help but wonder, if breaking the barrier of machlekes could awaken compassion in heaven for a childless couple, then just imagine what could happen if we could all put our differences aside. Shukriya. Thank you.